Well, this afternoon I'd like to continue with the youth theme, and although this sermon is generally to youth, I think we will all learn something from it today. Since kids like to watch videos, I thought we'd start off by watching a video. So, there it is. Okay, we done watching the video yet? Logan, why couldn't we watch this video? Why? It's just, what do you need to make it play? What do you need to make it play? A VHS player. Oh, good. I'm glad one of our kids knows the answer to that. Thank you, Derek. And you need a TV. You also need a remote. A remote, right? One of man's favorite tools of all times. This remote, one I use fairly often, has 50 different buttons on it. 50 buttons, I counted them. They're all there. Well, I can play basic movies if I use my VCR. Well, I can watch basic videos if I have it plugged into my TV. If I want to do more than just watch a movie, I have to read the instruction manual. Now, I've got about three or four of these because I got different, you know, you got a VCR and you got a VCR DVD player and you got a TV, and they all take an instruction manual, don't they? They can do a lot of things. You know, if I read this instruction manual, it tells me that instead of just pushing my button and playing a video, that I can play a DVD, I can play a video, I can record a movie off the TV, I can record a movie from another video, I can set the timer to record 15 different programs if my tape was long enough and my program short enough. It tells me that I can fast forward, that I can rewind, that I can pause, that I can run my movie in slow motion, that I can skip commercials, that I can skip to another movie instead of the movie I'm on, that I can choose my language for the movie I want to listen to in my DVD. I can change the angle from which I want to watch that movie. I can change the picture size from square to rectangle to a number of different things, apparently, in reading the manual. I can zoom in on a picture on one spot. Reading my manual, I found that I could repeat the play, I could bookmark, I could play an MP3. I could do a quick timer record, record in stereo, search for programs, change a menu, set parental control, select input, set tracking, play a new track, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. My VCR DVD with my 50-button remote can do just about anything. How about yours? Now, you have a manual for your TV. Chances are, if you bought a watch recently, it came with a little manual. So you can't just look at your watch and tell time. You got to read the manual to find out everything it can do. You know, this one can go two different time zones, and it can set an alarm for two different time zones, and it can be a timer, and it can be a stopwatch, and it can be all kinds of things, but I got to read my manual. Your telephone comes with a manual. Now, several Sabbaths ago, it was the same Sabbath, two different airports, I saw a husband and wife sitting down with their telephone reading their manual to figure out all the stuff that their telephone could do. Now, those of you that are old, remember when you used to get a telephone and the guy from the telephone company would come and they'd run a line into your house because houses didn't have lines. and they would connect it to this box with a little receiver thing, and you picked it up and you talked. And it had one dial thing on it. One thing on a telephone. Can you imagine that? You just stick your finger and you go... That was a telephone. Today, you need a manual to just say hello. And then there's all kinds of other stuff it can do. How many of you have a VCR that flashes 12? Now, you don't have to show hands. I know some of you did already. But some of you have a VCR that flashes 12. Do you know how you set the clock? Obviously, some of you don't. You have to read the manual in order to set the clock on the VCR. But some of you are saying, I didn't read the manual. Set my clock, trial and error. I just like to play with a little bit. Some of you techie type people, and you play with a little bit, and you set your clock, and you feel pretty good, and electricity goes out or whatever. Others of you called your kids and said, I need you to set my VCR. Unless you've got one of those VCRs like mine that sets itself automatically. Automatically sets the time. I went into this manual, and there are 2.5 pages that tell me how to set my VCR automatically. Somehow that doesn't make sense. Chances are most of us use with our VCRs and most electronic devices the on, the play, the volume, and the off. And that's pretty much it. Now, my sermon title today is, Does Your VCR Flash 12? Betty, get that down. Betty makes out my reports every month. Does your VCR flash 12? Now, the concept of a VCR flashing 12 is that a person gets this video cassette recorder and either doesn't read the manual or can't understand it and are satisfied with on or off. That's all they really need. That's all they ever want to do. They're not getting a full use out of their equipment. Now, I read to you from my manual that all the things that my VCR and DVD combo can do. All kinds of things it can do. Most of us just get the minimum out of it. In fact, many have their VCR flashing 12. Now, VCR stands for Video Cassette Recorder. I want to change that moniker a little bit. Instead of VCR standing for Video Cassette Recorder, for the purpose of this sermon, I want to have VCR stand for Valuable Christian Relationships. VCR, Valuable Christian Relationships. Now, that includes our whole Christian life and our relationship to God and our relationship to man. You know what? God allows us to go through life by just getting by. Like some of us do with our VCRs. We just get by and it flashes 12. Sometimes in life we get by just getting by or hurting ourselves. God has something better in mind for all of us. While we might settle for our valuable Christian relationships, flashing 12, never learning more, never going beyond, never getting all out of life that it can be, Christ has something different in mind for us. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Christ was speaking about the fact that He came to give us life, but He didn't want us going through our lives flashing 12, the concept of just getting by with the minimum, just doing the least you possibly can in order for life to operate, like people do with their VCRs. They just play the basic. Now, I'm not down on people that don't set their VCRs. I think hopefully you're beginning the point today. from a spiritual perspective. John chapter 10, the last part of verse 10. Christ said, I am come that they might have life. But Christ wasn't satisfied with just having life. He doesn't want us to settle for flashing 12. It said he might came that we might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The New International Version says, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. William Barclay says about this, he said the Greek phrase used for having it more abundantly means to have a superabundance of a thing. Now my VCR, I can press play, I can press stop, and I can press off and get by. Or I can read the manual, and I can do all kinds of interesting things with my VCR, DVD, and TV. Okay, which I don't use all of those things, but how about in our Christian lives? Are we satisfied with getting by with the least amount of effort, not fully following the instruction manual? Barclay goes on to say, to be a follower of Jesus, to know who he is and what he means, is to have a superabundance of life. A superabundance of life. The word in the Greek for abundant is parousia. It means an exceeding measure, something above the ordinary. The ordinary flashes 12. Above the ordinary is following all the rules and getting the most out of your equipment, out of your Christian life. Now again, with a cell phone anymore, you could get a cell phone and you could just talk, or you read the instruction manual. Some of them are PDAs, personal digital assistants, and they've got phone numbers and addresses, and they've got schedulers where you can schedule time to do things. They're typewriters and you can send messages. You can get on the internet and access the internet. You can take pictures. There are so many things you can do with a cell phone nowadays, and some people take advantage of that. But if you buy one of all those things and don't use it, you're not getting full use. What about God calling you? And what about God making the truth that He gives available to you? Do you just get by with the minimum? At a minimum daily requirement? Or do you go above and beyond and get everything there is to get out of life, that full, superabundant life that God wants you to have? Now, earlier we discussed the purpose for the Sabbath school and teen lessons. And it's our hope that young people can live their valuable Christian relationships to the full. Not just getting by with spiritually flashing 12. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know, God is the parent of all of us, and He's speaking there to the children of Israel. He's speaking to us as His children. And so whether you are a child of 8 or 10, or whether you're 13 years old, or whether you're 16, or 18, or 20, or 25, or 85, this is what God says to us. And He says, He's given us the full equipment. He wants us to get the most out of it. And there's only one way we can do that. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. I'm reading from the Good News translation here. He says, the command I'm giving you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. Now, those of you that are electronically challenged, you know, you look at your VCR or some of these fancy electronic gadgets and you say, well, that's way beyond, I can't understand that manual, so I'll just settle for flashing 12. Now, God says this way of life, the abundant, the superabundant way of life that Christ talks about, is not too difficult or beyond our reach. You know, it's not an instruction manual that is so difficult you can't understand it. Once God's opened your mind, once God has given you the opportunity to hear it and to know it and to understand it, it's very simple, He says. Verse 12, it's not up in the sky, and you don't have to ask, who will go up and bring it down for us? We can hear it and obey it. These principles are so basic. In fact, all of you kids have gone through the Ten Commandments. And some of you have got little drawings from what the first commandment is and the second and so forth. You can look at it back there. And you study the Ten Commandments. And there are just ten of them. And they, you know how to live. Verse 13, nor is it on the other side of the ocean. You don't have to ask who's going to go across the ocean and bring it to us so we may hear and obey it. No, verse 14, it's here with you. God's way of life, to live a good, superabundant life, is right here with you at Sabbath school. It's there with you every day as your parents teach you, as you as adults read the Bible, the Word of God, and hear the Word of God through the various methods. And it goes on to say in the Good News Translation, verse 14, you know it and can quote it. Now, a lot of you kids can quote the Ten Commandments. Or you know the gist of them, or at least remember them when they're told back to you. You can even quote it. That's a way of life. So now obey it. Verse 15, I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. Kids, have your parents ever given you a choice? They said, okay, you can either clean your room or you can get punished for it and then go clean your room. Your choice. Okay. And you have to make a choice as to whether you're going to get punished or whether you're just going to go do it and live an abundant life. Enjoy it. This is today I'm giving a choice between good and evil, life and death. Verse 16, but if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I give you today, if you love Him, obey Him, keep all His laws, then you will prosper. You'll have a superabundant life. You'll have a good life. You'll have an opportunity for happiness, for success. Even in a physical sense today. And more importantly, in the world tomorrow when you're changed to spirit being at the return of Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord will bless you in the land you're about to occupy. And verse 17 says, but if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away to worship other gods, you want to follow your friend's way of doing things, you want to follow the world's method of morality and of doing things, you want to settle for less and have your VCR flashing 12, I'll give you that choice. But if you disobey, you will be destroyed, verse 18. I warn you here and now, you won't live long in that land that across Jordan that you're about to occupy. He's telling those children, his children, Israel. Just again, as your parents tell you, go ahead and do it. You're not going to live long. They'll say that facetiously, but they'll have that tone of voice where you know that they mean business, right? Verse 19. I'm now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, and he says, choose life. He says, choose life. Christ expounded on that, and we read it in John chapter 10, verse 10. And he says, I came to give you life, but more abundant life, a superabundance of life. That's what God is asking us to choose. What do you want to do with your life? As an adult, as a child, as a teenager, whoever you are. What do you want to do with your life? Do you spiritually want to flash 12? Just kind of get by with the minimum. On, play, off. Or do you want to read the manual and you got 50 buttons with dozens of choices of things to do? A superabundance, in a sense, spiritually, and your physical life that God will bless you with. If you want to settle for your spiritual valuable Christian relationships flashing 12, your VCR flashing 12, then keep trying to figure it out on your own. Or get frustrated when the... Of course, I bet you that's why a lot of you moved to Arizona. No time change. No changing your clock. It used to be so frustrating, changing time. And on your car, you got to change the clock. It's 6 months from the time you changed it last to the time you now are trying to change it again. You can't remember for the life of you which buttons to push and in what order. And so, well, I'll just leave it and then it'll change again in 6 months. I'll be right half the year. So you don't have to try to change it. Then on your oven and on your microwave and everything else. Okay, but you have to look at the manual. Now, some people like to try to get by on their own. And I hate reading the manual. Because it's kind of like, takes away a little bit of my manhood, right? If you read the manual. So I'll just spend all kinds of time and pushing and trying to find the right creations. Or you just bought a new car in between time and maybe you figured that one out, but this one's different. That's the way people go through the lives sometimes. They keep trying, experimenting. I'll do it my way. I know God says to keep the Sabbath, but you know, it kind of cuts into my way of doing things, and I want to do it my way. And so people try to do it their way. And you spend a lot of time, you're wasting a lot of time, and most people never figure it out, trying to do it their own way. But if you read the manual, open your Bible, and look at those basic commandments God gave you and how to live, you'll have valuable Christian relationships. You'll have an abundant life that God promises to give you. There's a little boy overheard praying. He said, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am." You know, and that's what people are. I'm having a good time. You know, I really don't need God that much. What do I need God's laws for? Because my way seems to be going well, but it only lasts for a little bit. All of you here have the sense, and particularly from the Word of God, of what's right and what's wrong. Some to a greater degree or some to a lesser degree, just like some of us figure out electronic equipment to a greater or lesser degree. But how many of you have ever seen a friend or relative doing something wrong? You knew it was wrong and you knew they were going to get in trouble for it or that it was going to hurt them. Now you think about someone that has been doing something, or maybe currently is doing it, or has done it. They shouldn't be doing that. They're doing it anyway. They're hurting themselves. They're not just flashing 12, they've gone unplugged even. Nothing going on spiritually. How many of you have tried telling them they're about to make a bad mistake, or going a wrong direction? They're doing something that's going to hurt themselves and it's going to hurt somebody else in the process. Probably all of us have somebody in mind in that category, or maybe we're that person that somebody's trying to tell us something and we're not listening. It's frustrating because it's obvious to us, but people won't listen. For you more technically advanced people, it's like saying to someone whose VCR is flashing 12, all you need to do is, you know, and you give them the directions. It's that easy. You know, you get frustrated with those people, and you know, it's easy. All you need, you know, they're doing this, and they got everything figured out. Okay, well, spiritually, you run across situations where people are doing something stupid, doing something that's hurting them, and you could tell them, but they say, I don't want to listen. The seniors' Bible study the other night, we went through Proverbs chapter 1. So turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Again, the main focus of this sermon is on kids, but we went through this in the seniors' Bible study, not seniors in high school. We're talking about like older people. And we had quite a discussion about this, and everybody there seemed to have this frustration and understand this section of Scripture. And here, wisdom is personified. It's like wisdom is talking. And wisdom is the ability to use right knowledge, to use knowledge properly. Now, we read from Deuteronomy that you've got the basic laws there. You've got the basic Ten Commandments. You don't have to go far to get them. You have them memorized. You know what they are. Sometimes we just don't use it. Here's this frustration. And for any of you who have been in that situation, like I mentioned, where you see somebody doing something that's hurting them and they're not listening, you'll really relate to this. This is the Good News Translation again, or the Today's English Version is the other name of that. But Proverbs 1, verse 20 says, "Listen, wisdom is calling out in the streets and marketplaces." Now, isn't it so? You drive down downtown anywhere. Downtown Phoenix could be about any city. And you look around at people who are laying in the street, beaten and bruised because they've been on another bender, because they're drunk. And you hear wisdom calling in the street and saying, "That's stupid. Why are you doing that?" And you parents point that out to your kids when you see somebody that's maybe had drugs or too much alcohol or something like that. And you say, see that person? They're not obeying God. And they're there. I mean, they're completely unplugged from the system. VCR is not even flashing 12. Not connected. And wisdom, it calls out. I mean, it's so plain and obvious. Calls out in the streets and marketplaces. Verse 21, calling loudly at the city gates, wherever people come together. And wisdom says, verse 22, "Foolish people, how long do you want to be foolish?" Some people just want to be foolish. You know, it's like the kids at college where every Friday night, and it seems like more often than that, they go out and, "Well, we're going to go get drunk. And then we're going to stay there and we're going to vomit all over because we drank too much. And then the next week we're going to go back and do it again." It's just so stupid, but that's what people do. It says, how long do you want to be foolish? How long will you enjoy making fun of knowledge? And other kids will say, "Oh, so what are you, some goody two-shoes? You're not going to go get drunk with us? You're not going to take drugs? You're not going to have sex?" Whatever it might be. Make fun of knowledge. Will you ever learn? It's frustrating when people don't listen, isn't it? Verse 23, "Listen when I reprimand you. I'll give you good advice and I'll share my knowledge with you. I've been calling you, inviting you to come, but you wouldn't listen. You paid no attention to me." Verse 25, "You've ignored all my advice and have not been willing to let me correct you." Say, look, I'll show you how to set your VCR. I'll show you how to make it do all kinds of things. Not interested. Verse 29 says, "If you never had any use for knowledge, and I've always refused to obey the Lord, you've never wanted my advice or paid attention when I corrected you. So then, you'll get what you deserve, and your own actions will make you sick." It's like it said, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Your actions going your way, trying to figure it out on your own without reading a manual and following what it says will make you sick. It's going to cause you problems. Verse 32, "Inexperienced people die because they reject wisdom. Stupid people are destroyed by their lack of concern about doing the right thing." I told you, I used to pin it up on my daughter's wall, this picture of John Wayne in his army helmet. He's there and he says, "Life is tough. It's tougher if you're stupid." You know, I used to make him pin that on the wall for a couple of weeks until they had a chance to think about what they had done. He said, "Why did you do that? It's so stupid. And you think you had it tough before. It's really going to be tough now." It's tough when you don't obey God. You get to have a superabundance when you do. Verse 33, "But whoever listens to me will have security. He'll be safe with no reason to be afraid." Kids, your parents, your Sabbath school teachers, your teen study instructors, the men that give sermonettes and sermons, the ministry, they're all teaching God's ways. They're all, as they teach and as they instruct you, they're pleading with you to listen to wisdom. They're pleading with you to follow those basic rules that bring life, that bring superabundance. the knowledge, the example, the understanding, it's all there for you to draw from. You don't have to go a long way to get it. It's right there to help you have a superabundant life. There are a lot of ways for us to learn. There are a lot of ways for us to get that superabundant life, to tell us how to set our VCR, our valuable Christian relationships, and set them properly and get the most out of them. Mainly, they're from God's Word. They're from experiences of people in the Bible that teaches about, from experiences of those around you, and from the instruction of others. Turn to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, God sees man, and man's life is just going about flashing 12. You know, it's not really going anywhere. And God says, I've got the instruction manual. I've got a Bible here for you. It tells you how to set everything straight and how to use it to the max. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Good News Translation again says, everything written in the Scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the Scriptures give us. That's why we go through and we have Sabbath school and Bible studies, and we read our Bibles, and we teach the principles to our children, and we teach the principles and learn those principles from the Word of God. And they're there to teach us to live that superabundant life. Verse 5, and may God, the source of patience and encouragement, may God enable you to have the same point of view among yourselves by following the example of Jesus Christ. It gives us the example of who to follow, of how to live. Verse 6, so that all of you together may praise with one voice the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can read through Hebrews chapter 11, and it gives examples of people who are willing to follow God. And yeah, they went through trials and tests, and we all go through trials and tests. That's a part of the process. That's okay. But the more of God's laws we obey, the better off we're going to be, no matter what trials or tests we go through. Hebrews 11 shows faithful people. They're for our example, for our encouragement, to encourage us to live that valuable Christian life and to have those valuable relationships. Abraham was given tremendous promises for following the right way. Look at Hebrews 11 briefly. Hebrews 11, verse 24. And it goes through and gives a lot of different examples of those who did follow God's way, who chose to have an abundant life. You know, look at what Abraham was promised. You know, Abraham, in essence, was promised, you can figure out the whole thing. You know, you can work every button on your VCR remote, and you can do everything with your, you know, with this whole thing spiritually. Okay, you're going to get it all by obeying me. Hebrews 11, this is the Phillips translation in verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, when Moses had grown up, he said no to being called Pharaoh's daughter's son. He could have been the Pharaoh's grandson. He said, no, I'm not going to get into that because although it would be pleasurable for a while, that atmosphere would take me away from following God. And in the end, I might have fun for a little while, but it's not going to last long. It says, verse 25, God's people were being mistreated. Moses chose to be mistreated also instead of having fun for a while and doing sinful things. You know, when your friends say, hey, come out on Friday night. You say, no, I can't. Well, why not? Well, that's a Sabbath day. We don't do those things. A Sabbath day? Oh, come on. You can do that. You know, they might mistreat you for doing the right thing. And Moses chose to be being mistreated by those who didn't understand for a little while to obey God. Because he knew there was a superabundant life that God would give him. It says, Moses chose to be mistreated instead of having fun and doing sinful things for a while. New International Version says, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Oh, this is fun. Yeah, it is fun. There are things that are fun. But they last for a short time and don't give you a super abundant life. You know, people who have contracted AIDS through wrong sexual activity had fun, in one sense, for a while, and then died, just like it says that people do when they disobey God. Verse 26, shame for the Messiah was more important to Moses than the rich treasures of Egypt. It says he was looking ahead to the reward. You know, when you get your new electronic device, you know, you just want to get started, right? And I'll always, I love little electronic devices, and I'll start pushing the buttons, you know, and then I can only do so much. You know, I'm kind of flashing 12 with it. But if I'm patient, say, okay, I'll read the book. And so I sit down, I go through, and I look at each thing and say, okay, this is what that button does, and here's what that button does. And then you look and say, okay, if I do that, it'll do that. If I connect this wire to that one, then I'll have stereo, and then I connect into that and go through the, you know, and all. And so you start reading that manual and figure, hey, this stuff really works. That's kind of cool. You know, and I can play on my TV, I can play loud stuff through the stereo things on the side. Okay, because I took time to put things together right. That's the way it is here. He looked ahead to the reward. He said, well, if I study the manual, if I follow God's way, then it's really going to be a lot better for me in the end. Even though I might have a temporary pleasure if I don't read the book, if I don't follow God's way, in the end, it works out best. Heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Muhammad Ali. Those of you that remember Muhammad Ali, those of you that are younger, simply know him as a guy that shuffles around now, and he's got Parkinson's disease, and he mutters some, and he can't speak intelligibly. Those of you that are older, remember Cassius Clay, changed his name to Muhammad Ali, and he would brag about being the greatest. And he'd stand up there, and he's a great boxer, and he'd say, I am the greatest! You remember that? He's kind of make fun of that. He'd say, I'm the greatest! Fairly recently, Muhammad Ali said, I had the world, and it wasn't nothing. You know, he had the world at one time, and looking back on it, and what he did, and what he went through, and how it turned out, he says, it wasn't nothing. And we look at the world sometime, we think it's so good, and we think it's so great. And if we go that way and enjoy those pleasures of sin for a while, that we'll be happy. But it is nothing. It takes you nowhere. It flashes 12 or less. You can go through the Bible and contrast Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau. Look at the example of Joseph resisting sin. We can have abundant lives if we look at the book, read the instruction manual carefully. Sometimes we like to just look through it quickly and hope that we can find out everything it needs to do just by kind of doing a quick review. I don't want to look at it that much. One guy tried that with the Bible. He said, well, I want to find out what God's will is for me. So he said, well, what I'll do, you know, because you can study the Word of God and you can find out how to live abundantly. But he thought, well, what I'll do is I'll just open the Bible and I'll open it up and put my finger down and point down, and whatever it says, then that'll do. So he opened it up, pointed down, and fell on the scripture that says Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, it's not working as well as I'd hope, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to look in the Bible here. And so he's trying to take the shortcut, and he opened it up, and he put down another scripture. Scripture says, go and do you likewise. He says, oh, I'm not going to give up on my Bible study now. So he tries it again and puts his finger down. He looks down where it was and says, what you're going to do, do quickly. Just kind of getting by. Just kind of looking at the minimum and having your spiritual life flash 12. It's not really going to get you anywhere. You got to study the Word. You got to absorb it and take it in. There are other ways that we can learn how to live an abundant life. A lot of that is through looking at the lives of others, or our own lives and the experiences we go through, looking at the lives of our church family, the lives of those that speak to us from their experiences. You hear from the pulpit and sermonettes and sermons and booklets that are written or articles or whatever, stories that are told by your Sabbath school teachers or those who have lived life. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5. Now, Timothy here was now, at the time Paul was addressing him here, a young minister. He had literally grown up in the church from the time that he was a baby. And how did Timothy get to live the abundant life and end up being a minister serving God's people? Well, one way was through this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says, "I remember the sincere faith you have, the kind of faith that your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice also had. And I'm sure you have it also." Timothy's dad wasn't in the church. Timothy's mother was. Timothy's grandmother was. And one thing that allowed Timothy to live the abundant Christian life and to have abundant Christian relationships was because of the teaching of his mother, the teaching of his grandmother. And Timothy listened. And he probably sat down and listened to stories that his grandmother would tell, the instruction his grandmother gave, and the instruction his mother gave, and his dad was off doing apparently what he was doing, because his dad's not mentioned as being a spiritual influence on his life. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. So, if you have parents or grandparents, kids that are doing things right, listen to them. If they're not setting the right example, like Timothy's dad apparently didn't do, then look for examples where you can follow them. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul here is talking to Titus. New Living Translation here says, "To Titus, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that's appropriate for someone serving the Lord." So within the church, so there are examples that people can set. In this particular circumstance, it's the older women that can be good examples. "And they must not go around speaking evil of others and must not be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what's good." And so we learn the right way of life. We learn how to live an abundant life by listening to others and from the good they've done or the mistakes they've made. Verse 4, "These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to live wisely, to be pure, to take care of their homes, to do what's good, to be submissive to their husbands." Verse 6, and Paul tells Titus here, he says, "In the same way, encourage young men to live wisely in all they do." You know, back in Proverbs where it says wisdom cries out and says, "Please listen." And those of you that have an opportunity to teach younger men, you know, the ACT to YA, or those of you who are teaching teens, whatever, teach them God's way. Encourage them to live wisely in all they do. And that's what's happening with our Sabbath and teen schools and so forth. In verse 7, "And you yourself must be an example to them." An example. "By doing good deeds of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching." There are members in the church who have either done the right thing and are good examples of how you can turn out and live the superabundant life. Or there are examples of members who have done the wrong thing and have gone down a wrong track and then have repented and come back and now can tell you why not to do the wrong thing and how you can live the superabundant life without having to go through the problems and tests and trials that they themselves went through. Either way, listen to them. They can help you avoid a lot of pain. Listen. It's that desperation that we read in Proverbs of crying out, "Please listen to me." remember the story of a family that went overseas to the feast, and the parents told the daughter to be careful. It's not a safe place out in the world. And the teenage daughter, parents don't know that much. And it was actually during the Feast of Tabernacles, the girl went out 4 o'clock in the morning just to go out on the beach by herself and ended up getting raped during the feast because she didn't listen to simple advice from parents that were pleading to please pay attention. If you want a super abundant life, follow the rules, even if they're simple family rules. I know of parents who warned their children, parents whose children grew up in the church and ended up turning towards drugs or alcohol, and have ended up in jail, have ended up on the street, have ended up impoverished, losing their families, and they're just going crazy with their children choosing something much less than reading the instruction manual and getting the most out of life. I revised a little bit what someone wrote here. This person said, "Thanks in part to my mother, I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church for Sabbath. I was drugged to teen Bible studies. I was drugged to youth activities. I was drugged to family reunions, and I was drugged to the feast. I was drugged to the bus stop to go to school every weekday. When I disobeyed my parents, I was also drugged to the woodshed for spanking. These drugs are still in my veins. They affect my behavior and everything I do, say, and think. They're stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin. And if today's children had this kind of drug problem, America would be a better place. Thank you, Mom, for the drug problem that saved my life." Well, sometimes your parents drag you to church or drag you to teen Bible study or to Sabbath school or whatever, and they do it because they love you, because they desperately want you to live the abundant life. And sometimes if you don't thank your parents now, you'll thank them at a later time, as my kids have done for us, our kids have done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 6, International Version says, "Now these things occurred as examples." There are examples out there. Good examples are bad. In the Bible, and in the lives of those around you, in the lives of the world around you, watch, observe, look. Wisdom cries out in the streets. If you want to live an abundant life, follow the right way. The New Living Translation continues this with verse 6. It says, "The events happened as a warning to us, so we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking. They indulged themselves in pagan revelry. Verse 8, we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Verse 9, nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and died from snake bites. Verse 10, and don't grumble, as some of them did, for that is why God sent his death angel to destroy him. Verse 11, all these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close." It says the things in the Bible, the examples of those who did right, of those who did wrong, are written for us. For you young children, for you older people. Because this is close to the time of the end, and I don't know how close, I'm not setting any dates here, but I'm sure some of us are living at a time that precedes the return of Jesus Christ. As spirit in the kingdom of God, one day when Christ returns, we're going to be changed to spirit being. And we're going to live and reign with Christ. And think about the future sometime when you are there as a priest or a king, as a ruler, a governor of a city or whatever, and someone comes up to you, maybe 500 years into the millennium, and they were born of several generations of those in the church and understanding the truth, and they talk to you. You who lived in the time of the end. They're talking to you and they say, well, when was it that you lived? Because people, when they've changed the spirit being at the return of Christ, will have lived through 6,000 years of man somewhere in there. And so they'll ask you, well, when did you live? And you say, I lived in the last days, just before the return of Christ. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to finish out here in 2 Timothy. I didn't say we're closing now, but we'll finish out in Timothy. It's a big book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And you can tell the person that's talking to you then and wanting to learn a little bit about you and what you went through. You say, I lived in those days that Paul was talking about to Timothy here. The last days when perilous times were there. And they'll say, well, what kind of difficulties did you have overcoming in a generation like that? What did you go through? What were the circumstances like, and what did you have to do to live the superabundant life when others were settling for flashing 12 or less? And then you'd say, well, for one thing, I had to choose my family over wrong friends and over sin. There's a lot of wrong influence out there. But I did have my family. And although some chose to not listen to their families, I chose to do so. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, men will be lovers of themselves. Oh, you look around the world today and, boy, people love themselves. They love themselves so much, you know, they can't settle for what they look like. They have to look like something else or be something else, change something about themselves. They have to have a vehicle they can't afford. They have to live beyond their means. They have to maybe get out of life and drink themselves into oblivion or whatever because they're so focused on themselves. Lovers of money. People are in debt up to their ears and beyond. They loved money. They loved the things that money bought, but didn't have enough to do it, and so they were going out and spending stupidly. Boasters and proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, when it says here, disobedient to parents, that indicates that there were parents that were teaching the right thing. Parents teaching the right thing. To be disobedient and to be a bad thing, then that means your parents were doing a fairly good job. But people chose not to listen. They wouldn't hear wisdom crying in the streets. Unthankful. It means there were things to be thankful for. You know, a good home. A good church. A good life. But not thankful for it. And went out and did something different. You say, I had to resist bad examples. And to follow good examples. There were a lot of bad examples out there. But on the other hand, there are a lot of good examples that I could have looked at, and I did, but some didn't. Note, they had good leadership available. It says, verse 3 of 2 Timothy 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. There were good examples there. Some people choose not to follow them. They brand them as self-righteous. Maybe they were good friends that said, don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. It's really going to hurt you if you do that. But they despised them. And unholy. Jason had been to church. And he was sitting in the back seat on the way home from church, and he was crying. Several times his dad said, well, Jason, what's wrong? He was just too broken up. He couldn't talk. And he kept asking, Jason, what's wrong? And Jason finally, through his tears, he said, the preacher said today that he wanted us to be brought up in a good Christian home. And I wanted to stay with you guys. There are good examples out there, and there are bad examples out there. What about you? Are you a good example to your kids? You know, are you the good Christian example where your kids can stay with you, or did you want to stay with them? Like Moses, you might tell this person that's asking you, I had to resist the many pleasures and pursue God's way. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, it said, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's fun to go out on Friday night and get drunk, apparently. Because some people really enjoy it, and it's some type of pleasure. Or to get involved with the wrong crowd and do some of the wrong things. It's fun to go out and play football on the Sabbath. It could be pleasurable. But really, in the end, it does not give you the abundant life. It ends up sometimes inflicting pain. I remember a young man many years ago in one of the churches that I was working with that decided he was going to wrestle on the Sabbath. And that was more important to him than keeping the Sabbath. One wrestling match, he broke his collarbone, never able to wrestle again. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Those things happen. It's not that any time you go do something bad, something like that's going to happen. Sometimes you get away with it for a while. But in the end, the only way to have a superabundant life is to follow God's ways. You might tell the person that's asking you in the world tomorrow, I had to resist leaving the church and to resist disobeying God. Because many of my friends did leave the church. I have to say that, having grown up in the church, many have gone off and I don't know what they're doing anymore. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God alone has the power to tell you how to live. Now, people who decide, well, I know God says, for example, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but it's not convenient for me. You know, living a life of abstinence when I'm single is not convenient for me. And so I will take the power to live my own morality. And people deny the power of God. Deny His power to make the rules. Only God can make the rules. He's the only one with the power to do that. Somebody tries to get you to turn away from the Word of God, deny them. Turn away from them. The generation that grew up in the church but denied the power of the biblical messages they were taught and the truth that was preached. You will say to that person who's asking you about what it was like to live in the end time, you say, I had to resist the common availability of sex in society. And oh boy, is it ever common out there? Is it ever available? Is it ever everyone doing what they want? 2 Timothy 3, verse 6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts. Lived in a generation where a person could go out and every night have a different fantasy of some type or the other. They could get away with doing the wrong thing in many different ways. Yes, sex outside marriage can be pleasurable for a season. But as Moses, who chose not to choose sin for a season, but to look to the fruits, to the benefit, to those valuable Christian relationships and living life to the full. That's what we need to choose. Real joy comes from obedience to God. When you look at the abundance, and I was raised in the church since I was 10. I'm 55 now, so it's been a while. I know what I'm talking about as far as seeing friends go one way and things happening to them in another. And I'm not a perfect example in any way, but I think overall, I and many of you here can tell the same story of, you know, going to camps a long time ago and enjoying friendships and having them forever, still have friendships from a long time ago. Going to the feast in different places, in different settings, different parts of the world, been all, even from a physical standpoint of view, following God's law can bring a superabundance. You know, with my parents obeying God, I didn't suffer a lot of things a lot of people have to suffer. Some of you have had to. And you're paying the penalty for some of the things others have done in your life. Some of you are paying penalties for wrong things you've done in your life. But the way of God does bring superabundance. You might tell this person that's asking you in the world tomorrow, you might tell them, I had to know my Bible. I had to know the difference between right and wrong. Right knowledge and false knowledge. Because there's a lot of false knowledge out there. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3. It talks of people ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You might be telling them, I sat out there in the end times and last days and I had a teacher trying to tell me about evolution and who scoffed at the idea of God creating the heavens and the earth. And I had to resist that. And I had to know and study the Word of God. And I listened to the Bible study that taught me about creation versus evolution. And I knew that God was the creator of every good thing. We had the knowledge of the truth. You had to prove God to know where true moral values come from. You can tell them, I had to overcome a television set, a laptop computer. I had to overcome a satellite dish network because it was all out there. Every temptation that possibly could be was in front of me every single day. And I had to resist it with God's help. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You could be deceived so easily. You can be deceived by that guy on television that says, you come down to my car lot and I'll get you in a car no matter what your credit is like. And you'll have a car no matter what. And you'll pay 21% interest on your car for the next 7 years that's worth nothing. And you'll be deceived. And you'll be spending money you shouldn't be spending. You'll be deceived by the person that comes along and says, hey, come on, let's go out and let's fool around. Take the drugs, it's no big deal. You know, it's all hype. You know, they say your folks took marijuana when they were growing up and didn't hurt them. There's all kinds of things out there seducing you to go out Friday night, see a movie or mini golfing with my friends or stay with my family and learn more about God's way. Resist sexual temptations. Marry the right type of person. Well, continuing our conversation in the world tomorrow, and the person might then ask, how is it that you're able to overcome all those temptations? How was it that you were able to live that superabundant life with all that out there in front of you? 2 Timothy 3 verse 4 is the answer of how every generation can be an overcomer and has been overcomers by listening to and applying the Word of God. It's your guide. It is your instruction manual. It's going to keep you from flashing 12 spiritually. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14, the New Living Translation says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. We did a focus here on the things that our kids have been taught. You've been taught, young people. You've been taught, old people. And you have to be faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they're true. Some people resist it anyway. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. When they're teaching you and you're discerning and they're teaching you the right things. Verse 15, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. This is Paul talking to Timothy, who is now a young minister. And he tells Timothy, you know, you've been, other scriptures say from an infant. Other translations say from an infant. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood in Sabbath school, from your mother and your grandmother. And they have given me the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what's right. And verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3 says, it is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. You will be fully equipped for a superabundant life if you just follow the instruction manual. Follow the teachings of those who teach you the instruction manual. There was a fellow that was reared in the city and went and bought a farm. And he bought a cow. And in the feed store one day, he was complaining to the feed store owner that the cow had gone dry. The feed store owner says, well, are you feeding them right? He says, well, I feed them what you sell me. Well, that's not the problem then. He says, well, are you milking her every day? He says, pretty much. He says, I need 6 ounces of milk or 8 ounces of milk. I go milk her and the rest I let her store up. And the guy says, well, that's what's wrong. You can't get milk from a cow that way. You know, when you milk a cow, the more you milk the cow, the more the milk produces. And that's the way it is spiritually. You know, milking one glass a day out of a cow, the cow is going to dry up. And if we're just getting by on the minimum, if we're deciding our spiritual lives are going to flash 12, and that's all we need to do, we'll dry up spiritually. But if we read the instruction book, if we get the most out of it, if we apply it in every area of our lives, it'll be like that cow, we'll have a superabundance of milk. We'll have a superabundant life spiritually the more we get out of the Word of God. A VCR or a DVD or a TV, very unimportant things. Makes no difference if your VCR flashes 12 or if you know everything and can operate all 50 buttons on your VCR or on your remote. Makes no difference. That's not really our point today. Living valuable Christian relationships is a big deal. It's a matter of life and death. Are you going to settle for a life that goes nowhere, getting by on the minimum, spiritually flashing 12? Or will you take the time to listen to instruction, to look in the instruction manual, the Bible, the Word of God, and live God's way of life and live it superabundantly? The choice is yours. Choose life. Choose a superabundant life.